At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The one thing we are here to do is endure suffering on earth and then die and go to heaven. Yeah. And then we're like rewarded with a crown that we immediately discard, which is so rude.
Like, wear it first.
Like, what is the point?
Is there a parade first?
I know.
Yeah,
so
can we
rude.
At least be in our regalia for a hot minute?
So rude, Jesus. I worked hard for this crown. Give me a break, buddy.
Seriously. Jesus. God. He's like, my crown's made of thorns. So
it's never
coming off. About?
Oh. Welcome to Holy Ghosting, a podcast about life after deconstruction with your middle-aged mom friends. I'm Meg.
I'm Sarai.
And today we are so excited to introduce you all to Micah Ringo, the cult slayer of teen mania. Micah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's awesome to be here and talk to you guys.
I'm so excited. Before we get into all the cult slaying that you've been up to, I first want to know, what is something that's inspiring you right now, something that makes you smile?
Oh, I tell you, I'm just getting chills thinking about this, because this has been putting a smile on my face all week. The conversations I've been having with people who are reaching out to me and saying that they're ready to expose what's been happening in their organization, their school, their church, and they're not going to stay silent anymore. And having those conversations with people just gets me so fired up, because like, they're reclaiming their truth, they're reclaiming their autonomy, they're reclaiming their voice, and they're going to help other people do the same thing. And I just love to see, it's like dominoes falling everywhere, you know, and just more people getting free. So that's what I'm super, super jazzed about right now.
I'm smiling ear to ear. I mean, this gets me so giddy. Like, what an amazing, fun thing to be a part of and to spearhead too. I think, like, how has that felt for you? Just like being,
I didn't even occur to me that that would be an outcome of this show. Like, but amazing. Like, let's do it. Let's go, baby. Like, you know, anybody out there who has been wondering, like, where do I even start? These people are so much more powerful than I am. I'm a nobody, you know, like, I can help you. I can give you some ideas. I can put you on the right direction, so you can, like, you know, maybe make some changes, make people aware, you know, because if people don't know, they can't make the choice of whether or not to go to that place. Mm-hmm. And so just making people aware is a big part of it. So, I'm just super excited to see what's going to happen with that and what the, you know, rippling effects will be.
Yes. Yeah. For those of you that are not aware, Micah Ringo is one of the main people in the new season of Shiny Happy People. It's season 2. And this year, their focus has been on teen mania and the Acquire the Fire brand of youth convention and youth control. And they are really starting to take down the white evangelical Christian nationalist church that is out there in power right now. So when we talk about other organizations, are these other missions organizations?
These are mega churches. These are events these are things at Christian colleges. These are denominations. These are, some are big pastors that you know nationally. Some are just maybe big in their cities, but I can't tell anything yet, but like, big things are happening. Like, I need to get a map on my wall and put pins like in all the places. Like, that's where we're headed.
Good.
So it's,
this is amazing. This is going to be a national reckoning,
or maybe an international reckoning. I mean, let's get a world map, because I mean, teen mania, for people who aren't familiar with it, is that part of it was about global missions. Mm-hmm. And we, of course, in the past have done a lot of talking about YWAM, Youth with a Mission, mm-hmm. and other, you know, we did an episode a long time ago, Travel the World on God's Dime, about doing short-term missions. And we, you know, that's a big thing too, is recognizing that not only is this a thing that happens in the U.S., it happens all over the world.
And absolutely. And then they export their brand of like evangelical ideology. In places like Brazil, Argentina, Uganda, and like, I've heard from, I can't remember if it was Brazil or Argentina, but somebody wrote me and they were like saying this exact stuff is happening down here. Yeah. And I said, not surprised. Right? But like, you know, the more we can expose it, the better, because they're all the same playbook.
Right.
It doesn't matter like whose name is at the top. It's they're all running the exact same playbook, the exact same tactics, the exact same intimidation, harassment, silencing, NDAs. It's not new. It's just that everybody's scared and isolated, and so they don't realize that it's just a playbook and it's a tactic and you can outsmart it.
Yeah. And it's also, let's just be honest, it's also a very common cult tactic. And I think that's one of the things that we often say is that evangelicalism is a cult. It's just a really socially accepted cult. And it does behave in the same exact way as cults. So high control religion includes mainstream religions like evangelical Christianity. In particular, and we're talking here about the way that people are excluded, ostracized, othered after they leave. Mm-hmm. Not different than Scientology, really. Like the way that, you know, we've heard so much about what happens there when you're a suppressive person. And it happens in the religion that we came out of as well.
100%. And this form of like modern evangelical American Christianity that we have is not even that old. It's a few decades old. This is not the Christianity that, you know, our grandparents and great grandparents were practicing. This is a different version altogether.
Yeah. Really true. Well, Michael, what was the thing for you that changed for people that haven't seen the documentary yet? Actually, maybe back up. Michael, will you give us a little insight into just who you were before you left the church? Like, who was the young version of you? And for folks that haven't seen the documentary yet, just give us a little bit of insight into kind of just who you were and how tender your heart was for the Lord.
Sure.
That's a
phrase I haven't heard
that without laughing.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Such a heart for the Lord. Wow.
I did. And I do.
Yeah. I know.
If by the Lord you mean all of us and all
that
of creation.
That is what I mean. Yes, indeed.
I was raised in deep in evangelicalism from the very beginning. And K through 12, I went to like private Christian school or homeschooled by Christian curriculum. And so, you know, I learned very early, like, you know, it's so good that we came here and we brought Jesus to the Indians. And like, this is the kind of stuff they're teaching you really young to indoctrinate you at a political level and a patriotic level, you know. I'm so lucky to live in America. You know, those are the kinds of things you grow up thinking. And I just was in church like 6 days a week. You know, I was always like in the nursery or babysitting or like doing servicing the church in some way, like offering my free labor. And I think like in retrospect, I can see that a lot of that. And I think for other people too, we offer our free labor because we're looking to belong. We're looking for approval and validation because we don't have it at our house, or we just want somebody to say, hey, you're really cool and we need you and you're an important part of this, you know?
Yeah. I'm really glad you said that, because I do feel like for me, and I think a lot of kids like us, it is a place where you get to feel seen and like kind of wanted in a different way than, you know.
You're chosen. You're part of the elite. God has a plan for you.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and that like that feels really good if nobody has really seen you or said that you, you know, are something special. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, like I just always really did want to help people, and certainly Christianity like co-opted that and sort of used that against me, you know. And I think they do that to a lot of us. Like they use our own empathy and our own tenderness and our own loyalty and our own like desire for things to be good and like to not have conflict. They use all of that against us purposely. Like they know they're doing it. And you know, I didn't catch on to that until in my 30s, you know.
I know, I
was a slow learner, you guys. I'm trying to help everybody else not be as slow of a learner as I was.
Yes, it's the best thing we can do. You know, I mean, coming out of that world in a time where there weren't a lot of examples of people coming out of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we chatted a little bit before we started recording, and one of the things that I think is true is that we didn't have a lot of examples of people who came out of it without being like a angry, bitter atheist. It's like an archetypal thing that we were told there's just this one way you can be. And so I think it's really valuable for more people like you to come out and say like, oh yeah, I was that way too. Like, of course. Yeah. And here's all the reasons why. And yeah, and just being able to show up as like, oh, guess what? Like, you're a fully realized human being, and you've gone through a lot of healing, and now are able to show up and light that path up. Like, that's kind of a little
bit. I hope so. That's what I want to do. Cause I mean, I feel like I was just like looking for answers for years and just not finding what I needed to find, trying things and just, what about this? What about what, you know, just not fully understanding even complex PTSD or the developmental aspects of how this was so deeply in my body and how disassociated I was from myself.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many therapists I've went to over the years. Nobody once suggested or even knew to suggest that I might be disassociated from myself.
Yeah.
And I was 100% completely disassociated, like in every way, from all of my body's needs and signals.
Yes. And, oh my God. Yes. Such a thing that we hear. I mean, particularly being raised as a woman, I think that we're put into a position of servanthood, and that kind of like added layer of that. And also culturally in our country, like, women are subjugated. Mm-hmm. Yep. But then again, that denial, that self-denial that turns into full disassociation is so harmful, mm-hmm. not just mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually, but just like to how you show up in the world. It's like you're a shell of yourself.
Yeah.
A shell. That is a perfect, that is what it is. Like, you're there and you're existing, but there's no vitality. There's no life. There's no, you're not living. You're just gritted teeth making it through the day, you know?
Yes. Which is also like the highest of goals. Like, mm-hmm. for the way that we grew up, I think glorifying suffering is endemic in mm-hmm. how we approach life. The mm-hmm. one thing we are here to do is endure suffering on earth and then die and go to heaven. Yeah. And then we're like rewarded with a crown that we immediately discard, which is so rude.
Like,
frankly.
Wear it first. Like,
what is the point?
Is there a parade first?
I know.
Yeah,
so
can we
rude.
At least be in our regalia for a hot minute?
So rude, we have Jesus. To, like, I worked hard right for this crown. To... Give me a break, buddy.
Seriously. Jesus. God. He's like, my crown's made of thorns, so
it's
what
never
are you complaining
coming off.
About?
Oh.
Exactly. But I think, I mean, like, getting back into that, this is just an important thing for me since I didn't turn in my soapbox at the door. I really firmly believe that the only way to freedom and healing with all of this is through reconnecting with our embodied bodies, like our ability
100%.
To be here in this body now. And that is a real challenge when we are taught to believe that our bodies are bad,
evil, sinful, wicked.
Existing.
Yeah.
Yes. That even the impulse to pee is taking taking you out of whatever the Lord's work is for you at that moment. You know, like, we're not responsive to those things because we're taught to override.
Yeah.
And that gets us into, you know.
And that makes us so ripe for abuse. So easy to exploit.
Yes.
What was a turning point for you? What was something that kind of, that moment for you that just changed things mm-hmm. and just, you know, you couldn't go back. You couldn't unlearn what you had learned.
I mean, I think there was sort of two points for me. One was when I like left Teen Mania, and then another one was when I fully left Christianity, and there's about 10 years in between those two things. And I think for me, and I've noticed this in other circumstances and relationships, and you guys might feel this too, like, I realized that I've operated in where, like, I'll take a certain amount of abuse and then there will be something that snap, like, I just all of a sudden I wake up to it. And a lot of times that's when I see somebody else being abused or in the same, because it's like, I was so raised to, like, it doesn't matter if you abuse me, like, that's fine. But when I see other people, that's when I wake up and go, oh no, this isn't right. Like, you can't do this to people. Like, you can do it to me. Okay. I won't fight back, but I won't let you do it to other people. Yeah. And so I think that's part of it. Like, just sort of there just comes a point where it's just like, no, this is too many things have accrued and I can't keep looking past them. And I can't keep, like, it's, I've been trying to give you guys the benefit of the doubt, but you keep stacking all these things on top. And at some point I got to live in reality and say, like, this is wrong, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's really amazing how sometimes it does have to be like looking at someone else. I mean, that's part of that dissociation, though,
right.
which
totally.
Is, again, just like a natural state of being people who've literally been trained since childhood to do that. Like your
I didn't even like have the concept. And I said this in the very first documentary. Like, I didn't even have the concept that I'm allowed to have pleasure of any, like, of any kind.
Oh, yeah, no. Mm-mm.
Especially not sexual pleasure, you know,
well, of course not.
God forbid.
God forbid.
Yeah. But really any kind, right?
Yeah. Like, and so just, like, even, making my posture so that I'm available and open to that is even
foreign,
a thing to do. Like, scary. Yeah. That's even a step to take. Just to even get to the pleasure, you just to make yourself open to it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's a way that you have found that you have been able to kind of, I don't know, channel into that openness?
Ooh, that's a good question. Some people seem like they do it like they just go from like 0 to 100 and they're there. And that I've not quite been that way. It's been like little steps over time. Like if you guys have ever seen like Shawshank Redemption and Andy, he's like every day he's like spooning out a piece of the wall and he's like, you know, I feel like that was how I escaped. Like every day was like a little bit of figuring it out, a little bit of getting rid of it, and then one day I finally got enough and I could crawl all the way out, you know. But it's just every day, like I would realize new things, or not every single day, but you know, like as you go through, and you just every time you go, okay, and you just shed whatever that belief was, and then you get to like sort of a new level of freedom.
Yeah,
hang there for a minute, and then a new thing comes up, a new trigger, a new layer, a new whatever, and then you're like, oh, I didn't know that was there. I thought I was done. You know, like I thought I was done 10 years ago. Joke's on me.
I've learned to just know I will never be done.
Never. There's no done. There's no done. There's no done to becoming.
Right.
Like, right.
There's no final destination. It is just living life.
Yeah. Another, and I feel like in Christianity, I used to feel like there's a destination and you get to it and then that's it. And then you're there. And then, but that's just not how life works.
But also that line was always moving. It was like one week it was like, see how many friends you can get saved at school, you know? And the next week it was like, you better focus on your purity. I don't know. I just like.
You better focus on your purity. If that hasn't been under the entire umbrella the whole time, then I don't know what you've been doing.
Yeah.
That's very bad news.
Right.
Yeah.
Were there any things that you took with you when you left, practices or things that you felt like, you know what, I'm going to take that for me. You don't get that anymore. And I'm going to carry it with me now.
Hmm. That's interesting. I mean, I don't know that I would, nothing comes to mind when I think of it in that way, but I think more what I've come to understand is the parts of me that felt connected to Christianity or the certain teachings at Teen Mania. Those were the parts of me that are just naturally empathic and wanting to like make the world a better place. And those were inherent to me that Teen Mania exploited. Like I didn't get those from the church. The church didn't give that to me. Like I had that already.
Yeah.
And it just took me a really long time to learn that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Because we weren't ever allowed to have anything good come from us, you know?
It couldn't be from you. Yes.
Yes.
Right. It is.
That's
true.
A great reclaiming of just like your talent, your skills, the things that are just innately you. And yes, you've cultivated them over time and you've, you know, matured and nurtured them, but those are innately yours and they were not given to you and they cannot be taken away and they are not owned by an outer source or an outer power.
Exactly.
Those are yours to retain and to keep and to thrive with.
Totally. And I think like that's the hump to get over because especially if you grew up in this and so much of your like validation and your identity and your approval is tied to this system and to these relationships that like once you fully grieve that you're never going to get the validation and an approval and you're never going to be seen the way you really are from these people and from these systems, it's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And once you're able to accept that and grieve it, because it's a wound and we can't pretend that it doesn't hurt because it does.
It does.
But I think like once you grieve it and you get to the other side, then you realize, oh, I don't actually need their validation or approval. Like I'm still here. I'm still fine. Like, oh, I'm okay. And then you can go, oh, I only need my approval. Like that's what I need to care about and my own validation.
Yes.
And I think that's when you get there, then you're really at a whole new level of freedom. That's how it's felt for me anyway, because I don't need permission anymore. I'm the permission.
Yes. 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 Yeah. It's funny. I feel like allowing is such a big part of healing too. It's just like
100%
allowing, noticing, being yes. with. It's yes. so much about just like knowing, hey, this is actually a thing I want for myself. I'm going to do it. It's okay for me to want these things. And it is scary to go up against a huge community, like the family that you're told you have mm-hmm. in like whatever congregation or organization that's associated with the religion. But like once you leave and you're kicked out of that safety zone, it does sort of strike you like, what was I doing? Yeah. Why was I doing this to myself? It's really yeah. weird. It's weird that we do that. So
there is a moment sometimes where you're like, why did I, once it really hits you, you're like, what was I thinking? And I think for me, like, I actually had some shame for yeah. many years about that, kind of like, why was I so dumb? Why did I let myself, you know? And I think like, that's not helpful, first of all.
Nope,
but I think for me, like, what finally released that was reading and understanding about like infant brain development and like what we were supposed to get those first few years of our life.
Yep.
Instead of spanking and blanket training and all the mm-hmm. crazy neglect and cry it out and those kinds of things.
Yes.
Like an infant's brain can't regulate itself. It can't stop crying on its own. It will disassociate. That's how it stops crying.
Yeah.
So if you teach an infant to disassociate, they're not going to grow up in a healthy, like, connected, you know, frame of mind.
Yeah.
And so, and it's going to take, it's not going to be easy to like, because that wiring is so deep. And it's like, when it was in that critical formation period, when our brains are like so plastic and they're absorbing everything. And so if you didn't get attunement and love and connection, or you got it sometimes, but other times you got scared because they were hitting you and yelling at you, like, you won't have the same access to like inner resources and inner strength that the people who got that will have. You just won't. And so it leaves you more open to this kind of exploitation.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, as a society, what we can do about that, but we got to figure out something, because all these kids that are just growing up in these abusive homes are just, they're prey for all these predators, and we're not doing anything to protect them.
Well, yeah. I think just what even you're saying, calling attention to this so that there's knowledge. One of the things that...
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
We really lacked was information and knowledge, scientific information. Yeah. Like, I have learned so much, even just from a human development perspective, that has just changed the way I think about everything.
Yes.
And when that kind of access to information is denied because your mom is your teacher or you're in a private school situation.
Because science is just scary and bad because right. it's not of God somehow, you know,
mm-hmm. then you don't get to develop those critical thinking skills. You aren't allowed to ask questions.
Right.
That's not something that's, you know, encouraged with us.
I think
I just, you guys reminded me actually when you said like how little knowledge you had. My first job, I think like after I left Teen Mania, and I was like working at the Burger King, and the manager at the Burger King, like literally, she saw how gullible I was, and she was pregnant, and she convinced me she had never had sex and she was pregnant. And I was like, uh-oh.
And I cried.
I didn't know that could happen. I'm like 19 or 20 years old, and I have like so little information about that I'm just like, oh, well, she said it. She seemed like, why would she lie about it?
Why
so
would she lie? I believe everyone. I mean, I think we're taught that. Like,
yeah.
you know, you just trust.
Yeah. 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 Our friend of the show, DL Mayfield, did a lot of deep dive into Dobson. And
oh, love her stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They pointed out was Dobson is a child psychologist and knows about attachment theory, and yet taught this dare to discipline, mm-hmm. you know, break your strong-willed child shit that all of our parents deployed in our lives.
Yeah.
And so it is all the way from infancy and up through, you know, whenever they eventually stopped spanking you. For me, it was 15. So that finally ended. But you know, I think it does make you susceptible to continuing abuse, but it also does mess up your brain. Like, does create some channels and prevent some neural networks from building. And it 100%. Does create this like extra layer of embodied trauma.
Don't we? Yeah, 100% believe that all these evangelical parenting practices that Dobson, the Pearls, the Ezzos, all these people have been pushing are just it's child abuse. They're teaching parents to abuse their children, and they're teaching them how to do it physically, emotionally, mentally, psychologically.
And they're making the parents like feel okay about it because it's also weird, like for a parent to do that to their kid, I don't think is natural.
No, it's not natural. It's
and
not.
So it is like they justify it. They sell it to you like it's from God, which again, like where? Fucking tell me.
Right. But if you think back to like the 80s, this stuff was on the radio every single day.
Yes, it was.
James Dobson had all the bestseller books.
He was in our church
magazines. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was like the empire of all of this stuff. Yeah. And it was
teaching kids too, just indoctrinating us with Adventures in Odyssey.
100%. It was indoctrinating the parents, indoctrinating the kids. And really, like, this whole entire system of indoctrination, and it's like a parallel culture, parallel society, this didn't exist until the 70s, 80s. Like, before that, like, people pretty much shared a society and a culture by and large. Mm-hmm. And then we started segregating all the Christian kids.
Weirdly, around the time of integrating schools, what a strange coincidence.
That must be a coincidence.
Gosh, I wonder what the connection is. Nothing? Probably.
Nah, probably not.
Weird when all the private Christian white schools pop up in neighborhoods and, you know, create their own world and their own safe, whitewashed everything. And
100%.
So cute how we and finally are like, oh, it's called white Christian nationalism. For a reason.
Yeah.
And then it leads into things like Teen Mania, where we see this army of young people who are ready and like have fully been prepared their entire lives to accept abuse, to feel good even in those environments,
which
is really, really harmful. Mm-hmm. And to also make that connection to the higher power, the higher source is that kind of angry and like vindictive kind of thing. I mean, it changes the way that you feel inside when you switch over to like that kind of environment. And especially in a world where Dobson is out there saying to us our whole lives, this nation is supposed to be one nation under God. And we have to get it back again. The fervency.
It's our turn now.
Like they haven't had it this whole time.
I know. God, our parents, our teachers, our country. Sorry, I'm really into Carmen. It's just a thing where I like really love Carmen. And so I feel like if I can just
have
that Carmen corner. Yes, exactly.
Well, Micah, now that you have reached the afterlife, the place that is beyond, it doesn't have to come when death happens. It can happen now and you can live it. What kind of a life are you living now?
God, I love the way you said that. Honestly, like, the life I'm living now, I literally could not have imagined it. I remember maybe 6-7 years ago, I was still married. My ex-husband's awesome. He's been 100% supportive of my like entire journey. And we're still really good friends. And I just started dating.
I have to say, like, that is one of my favorite kind of stories to hear ever.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I feel really, really lucky that like we were just always good friends and good. We cared about each other, you know, even though I was never physically attracted to him. I thought that was like an optional thing. From the ignorance of.
Well, it's optional if you're not attracted to men.
You're taught as a woman that it's normal for you to not be sexual.
That's
like,
true.
You shouldn't feel sexual attraction.
Dude, so many straight women hate sex with their men. So I thought that was normal.
Yes. Yeah. It's fun how compulsory heteronormativity just makes us like, I guess.
I guess I'll just lay here naked and take it. That seems
okay,
normal.
Okay, this is what we do, huh? You like this?
I mean, that's as much of the sex education I got was just, yeah, you lay there and it's for the man's pleasure.
Don't go. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's true. But I remember like I had just started dating women and we were talking about it because I had gotten my heart broken for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it was so much worse than anything that had ever happened with a man. And I was like, oh my God, is this what everybody's been talking about? This is horrible. And it literally was like after two dates. So
when you feel that real like human connection and that pull to another person and you feel and you experience that those feelings of love and lust. Yeah. And you've never felt it before? I mean, of course.
And I'd never had it before. And it was just like, she was offering. And I was like, hell yeah. And then she was like, never mind. And I was like, bedridden whole day, you know? And I think that was when I think my ex-husband and I both realized like, okay, no, this is different. Like this is a whole nother level of like attraction and relationship that I like didn't even know existed or had access to. And I remember him saying, well, like, do you want to like be with, like get married to a woman or like just build your life with a woman? And I said, that's a pipe dream. Like I can never have that. Yeah. Turns out I could. It just feels like it feels too late to start over sometimes, but it's never too late. Like as long as you're alive, it's never too late because you still exist. Your true essence is still wanting to come out. And if you live your whole life without ever letting it come out, that's the sad part. At least we can't do anything about the time we've already lost. Yeah. But they don't get to have one more goddamn second of my life, you know?
Yeah, yes.
You get it. It's for you. Yeah. I feel like we are always, as when we are raised Christian, like we're supposed to think the right things, like know what the right thing is to think and think it. And after leaving, there's so much of it that is like, actually, there's so much you can't know. But the one thing I know for sure is that being alive in this body is so that you can be alive in this body on this planet right now. Like, that's all.
What's the point?
It has to be anything else. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Just like you get to have your life and like you can live your life how you are and how you want to live your life. And it's wonderful. Like, so I'm curious. I mean, do you want to talk about your life, like your partnership now?
Sure.
Like you didn't think you would get to have and here you are having
it. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I probably met my girlfriend, I don't know, a couple months after I had that conversation with my husband. And we've been together, I think six years now.
Oh, nice.
And we moved in together about 5 years ago. We got a dog and it's been amazing. I mean, there's so many interesting differences between being in a straight relationship versus being in a gay relationship. Like I could talk about that for a long time because that's super fascinating to me. Like the differences in not just like the roles but just expectations and like the things you can get away with with a guy versus a girl are just very different.
For
guys
training.
Don't care like a girl like will immediately call you out like immediately, you didn't do the dishes. Damn. Can I leave them in the sink for one night? You know,
you got to pre-plan that.
But like, it's been, it just feels like my whole life was just survival, like just trying to survive. And now I just feel like, I can exhale. I can relax. Like I'm not running anymore from myself, from other people's opinions, you know. Because a lot of it was running from myself and the knowledge that who I was, because it was too dangerous to know that.
Absolutely. Yeah, especially if you're gay. Like, it's like, no, you're not allowed to be any of these things. I mean, that's like a huge part of it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really similarly had a lot of that same kind of feeling of like, I knew I was queer a long time ago. Like I wasn't exactly a Christian anymore, but I was still a virgin. And I was also kind of like, I don't know how to date anyone, much less a woman. Like, I don't even know, but I'm pan. So it was like easy enough to pass. Like I am attracted to men so I could live, you know, like a quote unquote regular person or whatever. But I think it is really valuable to, as you allow yourself to be having those different kinds of experiences and understanding like, oh, life is so multifaceted. And like having these different kinds of relationships with people is like such a huge part of it. And it's such a beautiful part of it to be able to like learn and grow with people who aren't the same or like who came out of different worlds, you know?
It's totally.
Really cool.
Yeah. And I think like every little step along the way, you kind of get stronger. I remember like the very first girl I dated here in Vancouver and we were walking on a path and she held my hand and I was like, is it safe to do that here? Can we do that? Is that allowed? Like, But Vancouver is so queer friendly. Nobody has even ever looked at me. Like, you know, it's not even a thing.
You're not I'm a regular person.
Yes. It's so nice. Like, that's God, I don't have to brace for when I say my girlfriend or something, it's like that they're going to completely change their demeanor to me.
Yeah.
That's been really, really nice and really healing. And part of that is you can't heal in the same environment that wounded you.
Yeah. Yep.
And so for me, like leaving the South was really important because it's so freaking triggering to see a church on every other block and to like everywhere. And so like, you gotta not be triggered every second of the day if you want to work on some healing.
Some really space is nice.
It does help to integrate what has triggered you, and you can't really do it when you're just being confronted with it. Yeah.
Yeah. When it's just like in your face, unwanted all the time. And,
every trip.
You know, so that's been like, I think just being in a different environment and where I'm treated differently, like a person with respect is nice. And like each step that I've like made, like, okay, I'm going to admit that I like women. Mm-hmm. I'm going to admit it to my husband. Now I'm going to date them. Now I'm going to get, you know, not marry one, but move in with, you know, it's like every, and I get more confident in myself. And I think one thing I had no idea of in the church, and they purposely keep this information from us, is like, how do you know what's the right thing to do, right? It's like, does it give you energy? Does you feel energized by it? Is it, does the relationship drain you? Do you feel exhausted or do you feel uplifted? Do you, you know, or whatever, your career, your whatever. Like that's how you know.
Yes.
If every time you're talking to somebody, you leave and you just feel shitty about yourself, that's not the right relationship for you. You know, like you got to follow like what is bringing you that energy and making you feel energized, because that's like, that's where the life is, you know, that's what you're called to do. And you try to find that flow and be in that flow. And then like, that's the really fun part.
I love this. It's like reconnecting with your intuition.
Yes.
But in a way that isn't like as scary, like, cause when you think about, when I think about intuition, I'm like, I don't know. It's like, I really need to like get into it. But what you're saying is just, you get to move with your feelings.
Yeah.
You get to tap back in to just like, what is that? I always say it's like on one side of my head, I hear one thing, on another side, I hear another thing, because I just kind of like change where I'm tuning into. But it's not just in one space in us. Mm-hmm. It exists everywhere. It's not just that like feeling you get in your heart, you got your gut, you got your sacrals, you've got your third eye. It's like, you get to just experience yourself and your body in the world in ways that you can trust.
Yes.
And it's finding that trust.
That you
again.
Can trust. Yes. That's so, man, if everybody just knew they could trust themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, that's one thing I could give people. Like, just, you can trust yourself. Like, you're not going to lead yourself astray. You're not going to, that little voice in your head is not evil. It's not here to destroy you and like lead you to hell. And,
yeah.
Like, what if we're actually good? What if we're not bad?
What if I'm good? What if
we get
to live? What if I'm actually good? I like that. I think that, again, like allowing those feelings in your body and noticing them is just such a huge part of it. And yeah, it's interesting the way that we're taught to make decisions before, you know, in the before times was so much about, like, for me, I was like, well, God wants me to do whatever the hard thing is.
Like,
God wants me to do the thing I don't want to do because I can't want something and have it. I need to only do what I think God wants me to do. Mm-hmm. And this is actually really interesting because that's like, I feel like for me, one of the hardest parts to decouple from is this sense that like suffering or enduring things is just normal. Like it's part of the all the time process. Mm-hmm. But it's not. And it's actually okay and good to follow your, you know.
There's no prize for suffering if you don't need to suffer.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. None of us are going to win the prize. So we should stop trying.
No, you know? I mean, there's unavoidable suffering, right? Like there's things that happen you can't do anything about. And then there's like, the avoidable suffering is like the judgments we put on top of those things or what we think they say about us or, and like
feelings we have about our feelings.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I'm hungry. That must mean I'm a disgusting pig. You know, like, no, everybody's hungry. That's a human thing that we all feel every day.
It
doesn't mean anything about you.
Yeah.
So just stuff like that just takes forever to deprogram because they put so many hooks into us, and we got to go in and take each one out And it takes a while.
It's truly divorcing it, right? It's the separating of the things because they're so intertwined. They were woven together in this way that felt safe. And when you go back to something that used to feel safe, it really does take that moment of like, oh, that doesn't feel safe anymore. Recognizing that in myself, actually, that isn't safe for me. What do I do now? What different, you know, choice do I make outside of that world?
And the way they do that, it makes you feel unsafe when you're doing things that are actually safe. When you are trusting, it makes you think those things are unsafe, you know? And so it like tricks you out of your own tools and resources.
Yep. I really hope that people can internalize this. It's such a valuable thing to really spend time with. And I think you brought this up earlier too, is just the grief. And being able to experience it and sit with that grief and not run away from it and to not turn it into shame and not to internalize it again, but to really help to let it go and to allow it to like fade into the distance because we have to. We have to heal.
And nobody tells us how to grieve, like especially white culture. That's another thing. We just, it's over. It's fine. Everything's fine and dandy now. It's in the past. COVID's over. Who cares about the millions of people that died? We're going to pretend that it's all fine, you know? Yep. And it's just, there's no space for my heart's been ripped out and I need somebody to sit with me as like the fabric of my soul is, it feels like it's being torn apart and I don't know how I'm going to survive this. And you do survive it, but it hurts, but it gets better.
Yeah, it does.
But it does hurt. Like there is that process that you have to go through to shed those old things and you have to grieve them. But the good news is like when you grieve them and you get to the other side of that, now you have room in your life for something totally new that you didn't have room for before because those other things were just crowding it out.
Yes.
So those relationships that you get out or whatever, like now you have room for like, well, what new thing can come here? And you might be really surprised.
Yeah. What are I want to know, what's your new thing? What's the thing that you're going after?
Man, well, I before this show came out, I'd been planning for a little while on just like how I want to be of service to people and sort of help people on this journey and what I've learned, how I can pass that on. And so like I've been working on some things and I've been writing some very pointed critiques of Christianity and how this version of Christianity basically is child abuse. And we've been abusing this entire generation.
Yes. Dude,
and that this authoritarian parenting leads to an authoritarian society.
Yes.
Purity culture trying to
is sexual abuse as well. I mean, I think that it's important 100%. For us to call these things what they are and just shine a light on it because it is absolutely true.
Yes. 100%. And most of us had no clue. We were completely innocent. We were there in good faith. We were open, more open to them than to other people because we thought they were safe. They were godly. They were healing. This was the body of Christ, you know, or whatever. And so I think that like there's a lot of people that need to walk through some healing to get to be able to express who they truly are in the world, right? And like what really excites me is like the idea of living in a world where like more and more of us are living from our true selves and our true vitality because I think like that unlocks like what we need in the world and like what we're missing because we're not living in our full expression. We're letting these authoritarians and these other people like dampen us and dominate us and keep us down. But like once we all start to rise, like what's that world going to look like? I can't imagine. It's going to be fucking awesome, you know?
Yeah,
so that's kind of like where I want us to go.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm here for it. I love it. Yeah. Ghosties, if you are in, please go follow Micah Ringo online, the Cult Slayer. Thank you so much for spending time with us today and just sharing so generously.
My pleasure. And if anybody wants to join me, I've got a 8-week course starting September 2nd, Soul Purge, Vomit Up the Filth. We're going to like go through. This isn't deconstructing Christianity. This is deconstructing you.
Yeah.
Finding out like who you are, what pieces of your identity did you get from where, and like finding out if they're really you or if you want to keep them, if you want to toss them. So that's kind of like, we're going to do it together. It's a group thing. So if you're interested in that, you can check it out. And if you're interested in whistleblowing, please reach out to me. I will help you with that too.
Please reach out. I am in full support. Every whistleblower, let's go. I talked about YWAM and it was one of the most amazing cathartic things for me to do to just call out the abuse and to really just like, that was my experience. You know?
Right. If you get your power back when you're allowed to say your truth and your truth isn't silenced and dismissed and denied and minimized anymore.
Yes. Yep. Yep. So come get your power back with Micah. Ghosties, we love you so much. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.